call the Wednesday, April 24th meeting, the joint meeting between the county and the city to order. Can we establish a quorum? Don Griner, Mike Harper, Connie Shields. We have Anthony DeBone, Phil Henderson, Patty Adair. I would assume that this is a quorum for you two.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a quorum. Can we please stand and proceed with the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. So we're going to go through some introductions here. I'll start. My name's Dan Richer. I'm the mayor of Lapine.
Connie Greer, city councilor.
Tony DeBone, chief county commissioner.
Michael Harper, city councilor.
Don Griner.
Melissa Bethel, city manager.
I don't have any added agenda items, do we? Okay, and we're going to jump into public comments. Do we have any? Tell us your name and address out loud and then proceed with your comment.
My name is Jackie. Document that I've already spoken to Mr. DeBone about, it was at. We were told it was going to be addressed. Boy was leaving. And also the mayor. Not trying to shut Quicksilver down. Trying to get them to go by the lease agreement. Look at, but the other issue is the tie of according to the lease agreement. I think I found 11 places in the lease agreement where they're in violation. Work the hours before 10 o'clock at night and after the hours of some massive nuisance to us homeowners. I'm saying do it is because of the heat. Well, everybody's got to work in the heat. Now they work and they do that, we don't get any rest. And most of it about this, we're all retirees, some of us are disabled. The issue we brought up is the logging trucks. And like the mayor just told me, that's our concern. They start up and then they throttle it. And we're worried about somebody getting hurt. That they was, that's all we're asking. You know, nobody wants to live, the noise going on, you just don't get the rest. That's all we're asking. Only to create jobs for a business, but it's also to protect, and that's what your contract or your ordinance is saying. That's all we're asking. So.
I'll just tee it off a little bit. You know, as Melissa's correct, we've been having discussions ever since the city incorporated, but governed by the city. How we can both stimulate development there. You know, not the full presentation that we did a couple of weeks ago, but
I can move through this as quickly or take as much time as you would like. So I'm just going to go ahead and launch. If you have any questions at any point, just jump right in. And as Tom mentioned, I will talk about background from the kind of from the 60s to the 90s. Talk about the programs that are in place, what's happened, and then we have a sewer loan and bond with the city. Last question. So background, 1960s to the 1990s.
Should move out a little bit so you can see it. It's forget the
hand. A couple of extra copies over here as well, so of the presentation if you're interested. In the 60s and 70s, primarily, there were the 125 area, square miles around Lapine. They were subdivided into over 13,000 lots in 200 different subdivisions. And about 7,000 of those lots remained undeveloped in the 1990s, which is what led to some of these programs. Today, there's about 6,000 of those lots. These maps just show kind of pre-1990 and then what happened in the 1996 to 2000. It just gives you a snapshot of the magnitude of development that occurred in Deschutes County. A lot of the lots were under 2 acres. This is generally a 10-acre minimum, so they were quite small. They were all on septic. Many are located in areas where development is now prohibited or severely restricted. Floodplain properties where groundwater is within 2 feet of the. And a separate study of the Pine Aquifer Study found high 90s there. And the county applied for and received a state grant, about $150,000. To study, to identify what were the problems, what were the issues, and what might the solutions be for this rather substantial region. So this study, this evaluation, resulted in a number of themes. Septic system, quality groundwater in the area. Again, there's a high water table. many subdivisions had undevelopable lots, unbuildable lots. There's still about, it impacts wildlife, and especially the deer migration corridor, wetlands, riparian areas. Wildfire hazards, poor quality roads, lack of planning, development of public facilities, and a lack of evacuation. So a lot of issues were evaluated and studied at the time. Was amended to address a number of those. The purpose today is not to go into all of those topics, but it's really just to focus on number two, to create a new neighborhood. And as Tom mentioned, and I go back and forth even in this presentation between the new neighborhood and the Newberry neighborhood, it's often called both. And I know that it services efficiently, sustains economic development, reduces adverse impacts to groundwater, and others as well. So we jump into it. The Deschutes County purchased 544 acres, and I'll show you that map in just a moment. It was on the first land management for $648,000. This is the Act of Congress that was approved in 1998. We sent staff to Washington, D.C., predated my time with the county. Every value to the county to be used to protect the public's interest in clean water and to promote the public interest in the efficient delivery of social services and public. Other details there, which is important, such as the county donated land for two schools, parts of the neighborhood. That were used for similar uses for the community. The county expanded what was called the Lapine Urban Unincorporated Community Boundary. That boundary, that type of a river is today. It's called an urban unincorporated community. The county loaned the Lapine Sewer District over $1 million to serve the property, EPA granted. Then the county conducted extensive public outreach, and we've got lots of photos of this as well to create a. So you can see the 125 square miles in general that were studied and evaluated. And then this property right here is what the Deschutes County ended, the unincorporated community boundary. Those pieces occurred from thousands of the unincorporated community boundary and then creating the new main area. And the plan grand schemes and ideas and thoughts. I'm not going to go through all of these, but these were the concepts of the time. What were the benefits of creating this new neighborhood in the areas rural? Avoids the need for a $200 million sewer system. And that's just what the estimate was. Housing, community facilities, proximity to the Lapine Industrial Park, accommodates growth and addressed a variety of transportation issues. So one of the keys to developing in the new neighborhood was to transfer homes from the rural area into our transfer development. There's about 1,600 owners of 3,600 eligible lots. I'll mention other transferable development credits based on the projected build out of the new neighborhood and required development. The sending area, of course, it's the rural area. A lot of owners can sell their TDCs. They may not sell the property. In many cases, they didn't. They could still use it for recreational uses. They could get a temporary use to RV on it. Some property owners may want to consolidate that property with another smaller 2-acre property, so then they have 4 acres, whatever the case may be. Required to participate if you were in the sending area. It was all voluntary. Minimum 2 acres, and they had to be able to get septic approval. That was really the goal, wanting in the rural areas. So the receiving area, called the new neighborhood, they must turn in TDCs, the development credits, in order to develop. The county sold land at a discounted value. Here, the participation was mandatory to develop in the new. This is, for example, Wallace developed Crescent Creek. They had 106 credits, and that's what they applied in that area. The program worked well, very well until, the land prices were really low, $3,000, $5,000. Prices increased, the program really, really slowed. At the same time, the National Demonstration Project, there was a conducted by the federal government, innovative types of septic systems, what we all offer, ATT systems, or alternative treatment systems, to assess the groundwater. So that you have both of those things happening while land prices are increasing and the program's not working. So the program was amended in 2005 and 2006, and it really changes the focus from transferring development in the rural areas to the city, since that's not going to be happening much with the prices going up in land. Member advisory committee, some people still involved that own property in the area, and they recommended amendments to create what's called the pollution credit program, the PRC program, and then the Board of County Commissioners adopted those changes in 2006. It is when an existing system, not a new system, upgraded, the owner would own a P- PRC at Palouse. Happened when a developer in the new neighborhood would upgrade the septic system, or they could purchase the pollution reduction credit from the rural. Didn't want to participate that way. Then the other alternative was they could pay into what's called the groundwater participant. So while the other program transferred those homes, as I was showing, from the rural area to the city, in this case, it was money from the new neighborhood that was used to upgrade retrofit septic systems in the rural area. Those, we come up with a number of PRCs to develop in the new neighborhood. Well, they were included in the resolution on the right by the Board of County Commissioners. Their program was aimed at upgrading rural septic systems. That was the real goal. And the payment in lieu fee was determined to be $7,500. At the time, that was estimated to be about half the cost to upgrade a site. Payment was high, and the idea was the county really wasn't looking for payments in lieu to the program. The county was really interested in the upgrade. The PRC's obligations are recorded on a final plat approval, and the key is they must be met prior to the issuance of building permits. Polish achieved this with their neighborhood, and this, of course, was when the property was still, it was in the city, but it was still under county codes. The city developer was obligated to provide 534 PRCs for all of the areas that are in the dotted lines there, or in the bold line on the bottom. Polish owns, and I'll show another map in just a moment, but Polish, of course, owns Crescent Green, and they own this quadrant. The county owns these. So the total obligation was 534, but Polish, so Polish didn't, of course, need that many. What they needed for their next, they do have today. So that's what we have right now with those quadrants. Now the county still owns 320 undeveloped, unplatted, not platted, and there's a lot. It just gives you a snapshot of the PRC obligations for county still owns. Now the Russell property, this is what the Board of County Commissioners was approached by Mr. Russell about a month or so ago, and we started to talk about his property. You can kind of get the red boundary down there shows the property that he's interested in. It's 52 acres. He does own another triangle on the other side of the road, which makes it about 54 acres. Previously zoned forest use. Previously owned by the Baldwin Herndon Herndon Trust. And they requested inclusion into the Lapine Urban Program. Why? Well, previously he was allowed, the trust was allowed one home on 52 acres. That's what the forest zone allows. Generally it's going to be 80 or 160 acres as a minimum. So by coming into the urban unincorporated community, similar to zoning and urban levels of development, rather than just the one unit. Purchased the property in 2005. The TD program, as I mentioned, was in place at that point. It was adopted back then. Amendments were in 2005 and 2006. The obligations under current county resolution is 325 to reconsider, and that would be in coordination with the city of Lapine. He was proposing, as he stated in a public meeting, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, he's mentioned in the public that he's talked with city staff about his concept as well. There are issues with the new neighborhood, 2012 to present. The city adopted the comprehensive plan, the urban growth boundary. In 2014, we reassembled, the county reassembled, the property owners, Vic Russell, the Polish, the city of Lapine participated. What we all talked about, is this program working? Is it time to revise it? Where do we go from here? And we had three or four meetings. We've got detailed notes of those meetings. They were public to recommend changes to the BOCC at that time. And what they said coming out of the recession, let's wait. We have not done so. And so now the county is considering. And the board has an ongoing discussion, and including, I mentioned there's money that comes in, and where does the money go? Well, we have the groundwater partnership fund, so money that comes in. One fund that accepts the revenues, the other fund that accounts for expenditures and so forth. One of the biggest things that we provide in the county, we do this today, is we provide financial assistance for rural property owners. What we do is we provide a $3,750 rebate. The county's provided 83 rebates since 2006. The other big one is a non-conforming loan program with neighbor impact. Loan to people so that they may upgrade their septic system. Neighbor impact still has money. So I can move into the sewer loan and bond in just a moment, but before I do, I can see if there are any question programs that have been in existence, and as Tom mentioned, have evolved and changed over the last 15 years. Otherwise, I can
tell you. That's what this is about. That's what the
day. Yeah, I mean, it seems like you simplified pretty well there, but.
To ask, right, we're interested in purchasing a property, particularly county's property manager, on the one hand, to find out what's required. I'll be the first to say it's more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah.
So just to clarify one thing.
Yeah.
This program was not very successful because you didn't have very many people.
Initially with this TDCs it worked out until the property values increased and then the program, that's when the county convened the 17 people to say, well, where do we go from here if this program's not working? They recommended the pollution reduction credit as a way to
use that to develop in this nice community. But when the boom times
that it takes 534 PRC credits for polishes all four of them, and you said that they've acquired one full quarter and half of one other quarters or the whole other quarter.
Good question. So the one Crescent Creek that's already developed,
yeah.
106 TDCs for that.
Mm-hmm.
They'd met their obligation from that. So then when they purchased the next quadrant,
yes,
from the county, that was a PRC program. And so as part of the purchase price from the county, I think it was $446,000, they purchased the land and developed that entire
the
quadrant.
The full quadrant.
Right, but just not the two county owned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm saying they're only developing half of that quadrant at this time. They've purchased enough for the full quadrant.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
And so then on the Russell property where you were talking about, have acquired enough PRCs for this?
They have not acquired any, and that's part of the conversation with the board.
Okay, I just wanted to straighten that.
So have there been any proposals to changes? Like, have there been any suggestions on what the changes they're looking for?
The conversation with the board has just started. So, of course, one option is just to do away. That's one option. So
right.
The question is, the Russell property, they purchased the property with an obligation, and there's an expectation by certification with that included polish. They said, well, there needs to be some level of equity or some level of fairness because they did make investments. So it shouldn't be county's properties. And this is a big forward, is that there could be one of, if we could sell the land for pure market rate, market value, and that money goes, or we sell it at a discounted rate with this pitch. As Melissa knows, and we've talked about with James, and property is going to be the same. If the property is going to be valued, the PRC obligation is $41,000. Does it
cost us developing here? And people are getting on the sewer system, so we're not affecting the groundwater.
It's better because it is protected by the sewer system. Polish has their obligations met. The question is going to be what happens with purchase with those obligations in place. And there was an expectation going to the groundwater partnership fund to upgrade more septic systems or whatever. That's going to be the conversation going forward, just with that limited property. But it's really an open slate for the rest of what
it would cost to put water and sewer system into the Russell property, and how would that fit into that program?
A good question. We have just had conversations with Mr. Russell over the board with the development and what those costs may or may not be. Us, that the costs of this program certainly affect what he's trying to do, which is trying to provide more affordable housing. But we have not evaluated what his costs are, what the sales price could be, and what this does to that equation.
To help put that water and sewer system in, to kind of help him developing his property, because it's going to help the city, because every time he sells a lot, it's going to have taxes coming into the city.
Yeah. We haven't had that conversation yet. Yeah.
Well,
I
mean, you have the whole rest of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We have a whole.
Yeah, it's a good question.
So is one of the things that we're looking at reconvening a committee?
It could be, if that's the path to go now, a series of conversations on where the program should go. In order to change the program, at least the county would.
An answer, another partial answer to that is what we're talking about is the fact there wasn't the city. Area. And there were actually some incentives given to Polish at the early days to get him going, to do some incentivizing of with regard to the TDCs and PRCs for Russell property. And then the other factor that's different than the Polish is his goal is partially to build lower cost homes. And so I think there's been some support among the commissioners anyway at this point that, well, why are you going to make a pay to fix a sewer system in the more rural areas? The person buying the lot they're ending up paying for to fix the other sewer system. And so that's it's not just the developer that pays for it, it's in the cost of the house. And so we're trying to
all the way up and down Day Road, lots of 1 acre lots. we've got development and the septic system impacts of the system. So there's a bit where there was a city, and now is the time to talk about, okay, what's going to be fair and equitable. I have a failing system or new development out in the rural county, and that's an asset of the people, you know, we're, and then now we're getting down to the rest of the story.
Give you a snapshot of this. Yes, so as I mentioned, the county loaned then the Lapine Sewer District $1.1 million at nearly four, and then the EPA also provided a grant of 400. We're loaned as simple as we can make it. The first 300 units in the discount is based on that EPA grant. For 2018, there were 194 remaining SDC discounts available. Obligation for now, the city which has taken that, who loaned the sewer district for 2012, in the heart of the Great Recession, we refinanced that loan. There was $840,000 remaining that we owed on the bond. Total debt service is about $56,000 a year in our payment. There were a couple of years there in 2013, 2014, whether we were going to make that payment or not, because there weren't any SDCs on it. But we did make it. So, I guess we've got different presentations here, but you can still get the point of it here. So again, so the balance for the city is $808,000 as of December 31st. The county's balance at 2.86 is $634,000. When the city was going through the sewer infrastructure master plan, reconcile those, and do we do something at that point? We indicated, so $634,000, which is the what we owe today on the bond, and then that's the interest. The interest, it's not just $634 going forward. It's until the bond, the payments, et cetera, until 2021. And that we're probably aware of what the city's SDCs are. They gradually increase units, SDC payments annually to pay the debt service. That's what we really hope for. Our goal is to make that debt service. And those are for the neighborhoods from really the Russell property north. The properties south, such as Habitat for Humanity, Lodge, and others, they have a different SDC. Those are not full SDC. Again, it would put every bond, the bond payments. So sometimes multifamily commercial SDC payments can offset the single family dwelling unit SDC payments. So for you receive the payments, the SDC payments from the Little Deschutes Lodges, those were rather sizable payments that helped us make that, so we were going to have the revenues to pay that debt service, but we did. And now we have about 2 years of payment, but we have about 2 years of payments in our fund. That concludes what I wanted to share with you. And, happy to go back to any slide.
About grants or something. So remember, this is an investment that was made by the sewer district. There's water and sewer lines right up the middle of there. There's a pumping station. There's fire hydrants. Remember, there was a lightning strike fire that went through there north part about 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was. The Oregon Department of Forestry said, man, that was the best fire ever. There was fire hydrants out in the woods, and the new neighborhood was developed with defensible space and non-burning treatments around the homes. So we were really kind of far down the path on the infrastructure, even. And I don't know the capacity of it, if it's full capacity out there or not. Well, as I say, I mean, that's kind of what engineering things. That's the system development charge. I mean, that's in there, and that was paid for a long time ago, which is, it was lower costs at that time also.
My understanding is that it's not sufficient, though, right?
The lift station.
Yeah, so I don't know
the
lift station.
Yeah, the lift station is not
sufficient. Well, if we, so for single family, we still have the commercial, which were the Little Deschutes. And our payment, we have to pay through 2032.
There's a surge of development out there. Those system development charges will balance with debt.
That's what our issue is, how we can't work that off.
Something happens, the lift station, the pumping of the tanks, that.
Right. We're supposed to get those now, though.
We don't get those. No.
Right. No. Well, that's what I thought then.
The market and people are buying and building right now, so.
Yeah.
2003. It was a 4.49, but I wouldn't have known about this. But now we see that, you know, we've lowered the borrowing cost. Deschutes County is able to, and there was other things. Now that there is a discrepancy there, you know, we had talked by having this 2% gap in there, 1.5%. So remember, in the scope of the possibility of development, there's just development charges that, you know, go through that whole point that's very positive. It's just got to really help.
Properties so that the county benefits, so the city benefits. Development charges. I think that we kind of need to meet the needs of everybody here. You know, we can take and meet these, and maybe even somehow adjust the 4.49 to something that's similar with needs and still benefit both halves. I think that's probably what I would see would be the most equitable for everybody.
Okay. It's negative right now. Trying to work your way up to zero.
For, you know, for all of us, we didn't really even know about these, the difference rate till weeks ago when we learned it. I was like, maybe we can change those or make it, you know, down faster and more or something.
Or when the debt's paid. It's, yeah.
Okay. I think the reason, yeah, so get back up to zero, because then there's profit in there. There's this investment we have, yeah.
Right. More development we have, we will be able to pay it off.
And the economy, I think, made it so that the principal didn't get off and.
Right.
Time went on. And so that was like your.
We have a lot of capitalized interest.
Is there a potential to reduce the loan rate and make repairs? That would be helpful.
Well, that would be the right solutions.
It was, you know, take this back. We've, this was just presented to us a couple of weeks ago.
Sewer system, more development. You've got real interest in low income housing and things like that, so.
One of the cleanest things that I heard tonight was everybody. But I really would like to see at some point or another the county still benefit from this as far as the SPCs, but I just like everyone said, the SPCs or something, you know, come up with some capital.
One of the things we are working on, and we've started with staff working on, James Lewis and Nick, looking at seeing if we qualify for another TGM grant, which as you all know, just updated our code. Getting a TGM grant to back and we'll get back to James, and so that's something the city and county.
Now that we're all kind of on the same page, we probably need.
Oh, yeah, solid waste.
Yeah, we know you have your set meeting coming up soon. Tim Schimpf, your solid waste director, is here, and we wanted to go all of what we're doing, but kind of plan future in the context of our solid waste operation for our counties.
Copies of.
Is 5:30 a hard stop for you, or do we cheat a little?
We could probably cheat a little bit.
Okay.
Hey, I'm gonna talk really fast. So the county over the last almost 16 months now has been working on a solid waste management plan update. Goal of the plan, to work properly with cities, service providers, to offer citizens and businesses an integrated solid waste management system that delivers quality and cost effective services while achieving the best of our resources and reducing waste disposal from landfills. The fact that not landfill in Bend, the only active landfill in the county, has got about 10 years of capacity left is what's driving this. So we need to figure out what we're going to do after the landfill closes. But the key word is management system, which means that we try and have a system where all aspects of the system, whether it's disposal, collection, transfer, recycling, composting, we want all kind of working together, you know, in one direction. We don't want one, you know, pulling it against the other. We look at all aspects of the system with this plan. A couple of points here that I want to make, because this is what I've been hearing over the last year and a half. Here's the existing disposal. This one in Bend, there's the landfill is there, but there's also a transfer station there as well. Sisters, Lapine, you know, between Sun River and Pine, there's a transfer station. Redmond, Nika's transfer station. Where am I going to have to drive to take my stuff? As I thought it was going.
That was the moral of the story right there.
For the Redmond transfer station and the Lapine transfer station down there, so the main thing is that we get a lot of people saying, boy, you need to do new technology. You need to be getting the energy out of the waste before it goes in the landfill. And although we've kind of narrowed it down to we either site a new landfill in the county or we ship it out of county. Sampling side, so we rely 100% on citizens to separate the recyclables and bring them to us separately right now. There's still a lot of stuff in the landfill, so you can, this is a picture on the left here, a sort line, some amazing technology out there these days, screens, sensors, I mean, there's sensors that can tell the difference between the various grades of plastic in it. They shoot a blast of air and knock the right plastic off into the right bin. Artificial intelligence, just look closely at that. The other side is a chart there basically for both of those approaches are very expensive and they watch those as those technologies are. I mean, basically, it's so expensive, you need a whole lot of waste to run through those in order to make it pay for itself. And we're not. The snapshot of the recommendations, I guess we call it the collection, food waste collection. We're doing some of that now. We want to expand that. We think family dwellings are going to increase dramatically in Bend and Redmond, quite possibly here as well. So they're pretty much underserved. We need to have a plan to deal with that. Our business is involved in recycling, being uniform across the system so that the education and promotion and the color of your carts, and it's the same in Bend as it is in Redmond, and back and forth, they're not confused. And we want to target construction and demolition waste like we are. We need to figure out what to do differently there. The bottom there talks about our facilities. As we move on post operation, it's probably going to need some fairly significant upgrades, which that we're going to accept. Transfer stations, I hear these two transfer stations, the Pine and Redmond, they're going to get rebuilt. And at this point, primarily because we're growing quickly and they're at capacity, so they need to be improved from that. Also, depending on what we do for disposal, that configuration of the transfer station might look different. Again, the C&D waste, and then of course implementing a new disposal. It's $55 a ton for the majority of the waste that comes in. All the franchise collected waste is $55 a ton, but we operate not landfill at about $35 a ton. And that's when you look at what's the cost to ship it or what's the cost for a new landfill, you're comparing that cost to this cost, not our overall tip fee. There's $20 a ton that we collect over and above what it costs from the landfill, and that's what supports the transfer system and the recycling system, other system costs that we have. Again, waste energy, that technology, and Crook County expressed an interest in maybe taking waste that have a permitted landfill that we could use instead of having to site a permit. Look at that, and then of course deciding to start a new landfill in the county. Crook County, their little landfill, they got about 100 years of capacity at their current flow, which is about 35,000 tons a year. Last year we did about 180,000 tons in Deschutes County. So very quickly, we decided that if you add their waste to our waste and put it into that landfill, it goes very quickly from a 100-year site to a 15-year site. But they are interested in quite possibly taking some of our waste. The Redmond waste, you know, it's about the same distance to that landfill as it is to them. So that's a possibility. There's no financial incentive for that. But if we found ourselves squeezed for time and trying to get the new disposal option up, we could always divert some waste over to Prineville and buy us some time. Long haul, the top four, those are the four main landfills, all of them on the Columbia River, Arlington, Boardman, Dallas, Roosevelt in Washington, but it's just across the river, Coffin Butte and Dry Creek. The transportation numbers are based on Portland just did transport of their waste, so we knew that number and we converted it to ton miles so that our distances would, and that's what we came up with for transportation, not significant, so this is a good comparable number. So on the cheap end, $47 a ton, on the high end, $62 a ton to long haul it. We have it, not landfill. And all option is very quick, it's very easy, no land use, but you negotiate a contract and away you go. The one hit there is number two. If you're gonna haul your waste 100 plus miles, you wanna make sure you got every pound that you carry on that truck before you send it out. So a rather expensive compaction system would go in at the trailer. I mean, it looks just like a bale, but it's not tied. It's a big sump in there. They push that into your trailer or your container, and away you go. The new county landfill, we estimate about 500 acres, maybe a little bit more. We will plan for a site that will give us a home, so you get a buffer, you know, protection from. That effort did show us that there are potential sites out there that will meet spots out there. Our analysis assumed 35 miles from Bend. We didn't cost for a new landfill, $3 million, that's the upfront cost. That's getting land use and getting DEQ permits. The actual dirt, about $11 million, so $14 million total to put a new landfill in the county. 5 to 6 years to get through the permitting process, 2 to 3 years of actual construction. That's on the high end, 9 years. We're 10 years out, we're right on track. This slide's looking at in-county or shipment of seven, actually a few more because number seven is broken into three parts. But these are the criteria we looked at. Number one, implementation considerations. And as I said earlier, long haul, this criteria really favors long haul because those that will have opposition, we don't know how serious the operation. A bunch of them that tried and failed, they just essentially hasn't been the need. But on financial principles, basically this is saying you can send tender to another county to stimulate their economy and create jobs over there, or you can keep it here in Deschutes County. cost effectiveness, there's the 47 to 60 for long haul, 42 for a 35 mile long haul. You can worry about a high transportation cost and greenhouse gas emissions and, you know, fuel issues. Transportation is going to get more and more expensive. That's a little bit of cost. And in the past, we want to contract this to take 200,000 tons to this landfill, to waste management. Basically, pretty much most communities now, if they're going to contract, they say, well, we got 200,000 tons, we're only going to guarantee you 150,000 tons, so we got some breathing room in case we want to do something different, in case we want to recycle more. We'll pay a higher rate for the smaller tonnage, but you know, we have all the flexibility in the world to decide what we want to do. Tides are reliable. I mean, a modern landfill is very reliable, protecting the environment. To the Columbia River Board, is, you know, there's going to be some issues in the wintertime, road closures, so that makes that a little bit less attractive. Here's a big one, environmental considerations, and there's three sections. Greenhouse gas emissions, landfills create nothing but methane, but there's still fugitive emissions. This is really kind of even. Those landfill emissions are not an issue in the neighborhood, right? Those are global warming gases, and the impact is global, not local. So whether our 200,000 tons stays in the county or goes to the Columbia River Gorge, the impact of the environment is about the same. Big one is number two there, 7.2, transportation. If we ship to the gorge, in 2030, just over 2 million truck miles will go on the road. 2 million truck miles through Bend, through Redmond, through Madras, all the way to the Columbia River Gorge. 5 miles out from Bend is 350 truck miles. Now that's huge. I mean, in the 90s when we were doing this, everybody was looking at a lot of people who had environmental concerns said, don't take 100 acres of prime desert land and create a landfill when there's hundreds of years capacity down the Columbia River Gorge. Things have kind of flopped now, you know. The impacts from transportation far outweighs, you know, the potential problem you might have. Basically, with the exception of ease of implementation, the analysis points to where we're at. The plan is almost complete. We had our last SWAC meeting yesterday. A couple of tweaks to go with that. The plan does recommend citing it. The board has not made the decision to do that yet. And some public outreach, a couple of surveys of our own that we had on. Yes.
I just noticed that there wasn't any calculation.
Don't see significant. I mean, we operated a transfer station and a landfill at Knott, right?
Right.
So I only have about 4 employees that are really dedicated to the landfill side.
Okay.
You know, but right now, the majority of the waste coming in garbage trucks goes right down in the landfill. Yeah. And the landfill fulls, that traffic is going to go into the transfer station. So I'll need more staff in the transfer station. You know, and if we implement a C&D processing, you know, I'll need staff for that too. So we didn't see a big change in staffing costs.
In the old days,
an incinerator in Oregon, in Marion County, been there quite a while. It's not looked on favorably. You know, they upgrade their systems to meet air quality standards as those new systems come along. They're at capacity and want to add another burner. I don't think they're going to be able to get it done. Just from that combustion-based technology, you know, usually at a much higher heat, you know, which means a more efficient burn, et cetera, et cetera. Again, those are all, even although, you know, we don't see that. And the other thing about waste energy, I mean, an old-fashioned incinerator does pretty good. I mean, I like to say that nothing new out there, even if it's hazardous waste or if it's bad, you know, obviously not. But good, you know, there's a lot of stuff that wouldn't burn, but it just comes out the back end and they mix it with the acid stuff. Now, if it doesn't burn, you can't put it in there. So you've got stuff you can't process, that's got to go to a landfill. And at the back end of the boat, we need landfill capacity. Even if in 5 years, hey, this new technology will work here and be incorporated, we're still going to have need for landfill.
And we all work together on a number of things, and that's our...
In the 90s, you know, we did a management plan that really was regional. Crook, Jefferson, Northern Klamath, process. Basically, Jeremiah committed to going along with Deschutes County. Crook developed their own line cell. Jefferson closed and started shipping.
For a while there, they were taking it to Crook County. Now they take it up to Wasco County.
Together, I mean, and if Crook still has capacity in their landfill and kind of incinerator that was a tri-county incinerator, then they would have the capacity.
With 35,000 tons coming out of Crook, I mean, you don't get enough tons collectively to sway the analysis. It's closer, but it's not there yet.
Okay.
But public outreach, in the next 30 to 60 days, we expect to have a completed plan for the board to consider. The last point I want to make is none of the recommendations, nothing in the requirements for the cities. I mean, we would like to see expansion of curbside collection of recyclables and food waste, part of the transfer station, incorporating when you're ready. So,
brought up curbside recycling and garbage company said that they could do it for $1 more a month. And do you know how much rejection we got? Man, I'm telling you, people didn't want to pay that $1 extra to have it recycled.
Don, do you remember when that was?
During last time I was on the council, so it's been about.
I heard it, and I mean, it's pay for the cost because the benefit of the city is to implement a policy that.
And present it to the council, and we could go from there.
But remember,
that's an enormous issue.
Right.
Right. That's what, that was my understanding.
It's in a glass.
Pretty recycled.
Can't you break down into sand or something?
Right.
Most of the products are really hard to recycle.
Right.
Anything else? The questions?
One quick question.
Yes.
It seems to me that if it was mandating, it seems to me it would cut down on the amount of waste put in his landfill, and they would get cycles that aren't selling like they used to.
It would. You can assume that a new landfill in the county,
yep,
you can operate that for about the same as we do not have, $35 a ton. So, I mean, right now, that landfill that we currently have is a huge boon to the community because 75% of all the tons, we're going to be picking up 180 to 200,000 tons.
Are there any council commissioner comments or anything? If not, then we're going to.
Oh, there's a 10 days at not, but there's one weekend at the transfer station.
It's for free, remember?
You gave those to me at the CYC meeting and we put some out.
Okay, so I have more today because it's.
Thank you so much.
And then also, text CEO Fire 88777, the word CEO Fire. I just got one this afternoon as we're coming in here, and it talks about tomorrow's the first prescribed burn plan for outside of Sisters, and then 25 miles southeast of next CO Fire, that 888-777. Right up to date on where the smoke might be coming from.
Just posted that on our webpage.
Good.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. We're adjourned.
Thank you.